Banking fears in the U.S. are calming down. In Europe, it is a different story. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishor, in for David Brancaccio. There have been some positive signs coming out of the banking system here in the U.S. The Fed stepped in with loans to help banks out, and banks, a few weeks in, appear to be relying a little less on those loans. But for European banks, the situation is a bit different. Credit Suisse failed, and shares of Deutsche Bank are sliding dramatically, meaning investors are scared. So let's get into this with Christopher Lowe, chief economist at FHN Financial in New York. Hi, Chris.
Good morning, Sabri.
Are we in a better place regarding all the banking turmoil, or are there still major concerns out there?
Oh, there's definitely still concerns, but I think we are, in fact, in a better place. And the fact that banks leaned pretty heavily on the Fed's new lending facility in the first week of availability, and then things calmed down, what it tells me is that a lot of institutions decided to buffer their liquidity just in case. It put them in a stronger position, and now they feel they can withstand what they need to withstand.
But what about what we're hearing from Europe? Credit Suisse failed, and now there appears to be a lot of fear around Deutsche Bank.
In Europe, it's a different picture because the European regulators took a really different approach, particularly the Swiss regulator, when they took Credit Suisse off the table. What that's done is it's made it difficult for all European banks to get funding from the markets because, investors are, I think, reasonably concerned after seeing some bank bonds reduced to zero in the past week.
Christopher Lowe is chief economist at FHN Financial in New York. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sabri.
Around the world, demand for U.S. dollars has risen in the wake of banking system turmoil as investors have sought to protect themselves. So the Fed has had to work to keep those dollars circulating, and it's been coordinating with central banks in other countries to do that. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer explains how that works.
In a normal economy, central bankers just keep in touch with each other. But these are not normal times, so they've moved to a second level of coordination, daily swaps of dollars for other currencies. Ann Owen is a former Fed economist now at Hamilton College.
It's in response to potential increased demand for dollars from banks in other countries. And so these central banks need access to dollars because they can't print them themselves.
When economic stress rises, people turn to dollars. So the Fed and its counterparts in other countries want to be sure there are plenty in circulation. They don't want any more bank runs. In really turbulent times, like during the 2008 financial crisis, the Fed goes to level three, coordinating interest rates with other central banks. The goal of all this coordination is global financial stability, because without it, the Fed can't do its job of keeping inflation low and maximizing employment. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Protests are intensifying in France over the government's overhaul of pensions. Last week, French President Emmanuel Macron used executive power to raise the retirement age by 2 years to age 64. Macron says the aging demographics of France require this to make the accounting work. My Marketplace colleague David Brancaccio filed this from Paris.
During the day, protesters were out in force, but I came across only peaceful marches. By evening, the mood changed. I saw small groups throwing construction debris and setting small fires with trash to block streets in central Paris. The head of the second largest public sector labor union, considered a moderate, is quoted saying there is room for negotiation, but only if President Macron starts by offering some compromise. Many French workers are especially angry. Macron used a legal maneuver to raise the retirement age without a vote in parliament. Today, Britain's King Charles postponed a state visit here after a new nationwide strike was announced for next Tuesday.
Lab-grown meat is exactly what it sounds like, meat grown from animal cells inside a tank instead of on a farm or a feedlot. It is still emerging as a technology, and it had a win recently. The Food and Drug Administration has approved a chicken product grown this way by California-based company Good Meat. It is only the second company to get this green light. The U.S. Department of Agriculture still has to sign off before any of us can actually buy this stuff. Allie Budner has that story.
The taste of meat is nostalgic for Joshua Tetrick, who runs Good Meat.
I grew up in Birmingham, Alabama, on a lot of fried chicken and barbecues.
His company produces meat without raising animals. So-called cultivated meat starts with a few animal cells. They're cultured in a bioreactor, essentially fed and grown, to multiply and become edible meat.
From a single cell, you can make ultimately billions of pounds of meat without all the resources that go into making meat today.
And Tetrick argues, without creating as much greenhouse gas.
The animals we eat are responsible for more carbon emissions than all the transportation sources combined. So we got a meat problem.
A meat problem that more than 100 cultivated meat companies around the world are trying to solve. But shoppers won't see it at the grocery store anytime soon. For one, it's still expensive to make. More than $100 a pound, says Tetrick. Good Meat is working on scaling up. The FDA approval was big, so now the company is getting its ducks in a row. Or chickens, as it were. But Jason Lusk at Purdue University says it'll take work to sway consumers.
The average consumer is still pretty skittish about the cultivated meat products.
Lusk is an agricultural economist. He says younger consumers are the target demographic here.
In part because they tend to be a bit more concerned about environment and animal welfare, but also because they tend to be more novelty seeking, more willing to try new things.
New technologies often take time before they're embraced by and affordable for buyers. Elliot Swartz is a lead scientist with the Good Food Institute, a nonprofit that advocates for conventional meat alternatives. He says, think of electric vehicles.
It's taken a lot of time and investment to get battery costs down, where now we can have electric cars that compete in the marketplace on performance, on price.
He says just like the vehicle industry took a phased approach to electric cars by introducing hybrids, cultivated meat products will start off as hybrids too.
Where you're actually mixing animal cells with other plant-based ingredients as a means to sort of dilute the higher cost of production of the animal cells.
If these companies can get cultivated meat onto consumers' dinner plates, Swartz believes that ultimately the product will speak for itself. He's tried Good Meat's chicken, nuggets, and satay skewers. He says it tasted like what it was, chicken. I'm Allie Budner for Marketplace.
Our digital producer is Jarrett Dang. Our engineers are Jessen Dueler and Nick Esposito. And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.